Okay, I guess we can get started. So we left off last week. We were discussing the intricacies of the sugya of Shomei Ka'ona, and we came to a quick realization that there are really two different tracks of Shomei Ka'ona. There's Shomei Ka'ona when, let's say, Reuven is actually being Yotze himself, and at the same time is being Motzi Shimon. And there's another kind of Shomei Ka'ona when Reuven is not being Yotze right now, either because he's not interested in being Yotze right now, or because he was already Yotze, and he still wants to be able to be Motzi Shimon. So that's what we call Afa Pishyotze Motzi, and that also works. So the fact that both, I started the recording on this also, Henry, so it's fine. Okay, you can continue on this. Good. So, even though it's clear that both of these halachos of Shomei Ka'ona are true, what is less than clear is whether both of them actually work on a level of deraisa. So the first one for sure does. We saw that applied to Birchas HaMazon, we know we apply to Kiddush and Parshas Zohar. We apply to all deraisas across the board. The second did of Apish Yatzamotzi, so that was less clear whether that really works in HaTorah. What led us to believe that not? There was a famous machlokes between Baal HaTosis and the Baal Lachs Kedolos about that famous story that happened in Maseches Brachos about Shimon ben Shetach being Motzi, the Yanei HaMelech and his Chevra in Birchas HaMazon. But the Gemara basically said that if Shimon ben Shetach would have eaten a kezias, then we wouldn't have had any qualms, we wouldn't have had any hesitation of him being able to be Motzi, the other Bnei Chabura there. So the Baal Halachos Gedolos was bothered, how can that be? If one only eats a kezias, isn't that only a chiva b'chasim ozon derabanan? And everybody else presumably ate a big meal, they were coming back from a war, so there was a victory celebration, some estoma, they ate kedei sviya. How can a kezias be motzi or kedei sviya? It can't be. So the Baal Halachos Gedolos said, you're right, taka right, that the chabura there, taka did not eat kedei sviya. It was taka only benching derabanan. And it was a derabanan trying to be motzi or derabanan. But Enoch Hanami says the Baal Halachos Gedolos, for kezias to be motzi, someone eating kedei sviya is actually out of the question. And Tosis is
the situation that Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach was in, it was a difficult situation. He's the Yanai who was killing everybody.
Right.
So maybe he will take it as an insult, will kill him. Maybe they did it because of fear.
Right. You know, 100% right. If it would have just been the historical story itself, I would have said Shimon ben Shetach was afraid for his life. But the Gemara is very clear that it was halakhically justifiable. The Gemara's only critique of Shimon ben Shetach is that it wasn't a critique, it was just pointing out that we don't follow him. He held that as long as you drank a little bit of wine, you could be motzi the Rav and Birchas HaMazon. The Gemara says, that far we don't go. But if he would have eaten a kezias, the Gemara says, that would have been okay. So you're 100% right. If it was just a historical story, that would not have been a proof. But the proof is from the way Chazal interpreted the historical story as being accurate halachically. So that's really the proof from the Gemara's understanding of the story. So the bottom line is that the Baal Halachos Gedolos does not let someone ready kezias to melt a kedei sviya. But Taisa and the Rosh disagree. So how do we understand the machlekes? So the Shekes Ari, as we left off at the end of the Shiloh yesterday, the Shekes Ari understood the machlekes is about this very point. Namely, is Shomei Ka'ona number two, Derech Yotze Motzi, is that deraisa not? So according to Taisa and the Rosh, yes, and according to the Baal Halachos Gedolos, not. So at the very end of the Shiloh last week, we wanted to take issue, perhaps, again, we. It's hard for us to say that even with a straight face, take issue with the Shekes Aryeh. We want to go with the Shekes Aryeh. But Tayyar Lamda Nitzarach, so we have to suggest an alternate shot as to what's going on in this figure. One could argue that nobody ever questioned whether first track Shomei Ka'ona, second track Shomei Ka'ona, or anything short of a deraisa. Of course, they're a deraisa. What was bothering the Baal Halachos Gedolos was preventing a kezias from being motzi kedei sviya has nothing to do with it not being deraisa. It has to do with another din lagamri. The Gemara back in Rosh Hashanah that we learned last week, which was the source for yatzei motzi, the Gemara says that there's an exception to the rule of yatzei motzi. There is a certain scenario that I cannot say Shomei Ka'ona on if I'm not being yatzei myself, and that is Birchas HaNehanim. If I want to sit down with you and make a motzi, I'm going to make a motzi for you. If I'm also eating bread, that's fine. But if I'm not eating bread, that's a big problem. You don't say Afa Pishi Yotze Motzi on Birchas HaNehanim. Why? Very simple. The whole rationale for Afa Pishi Yotze Motzi was Arvus. I'm responsible to make sure that my fellow Jew, he has the Megillah, reads the Halal, and makes his brachas on Birchas HaMitzvahs. I'm not responsible to make sure everybody eats an apple. There's no great mitzvah to eat apples. You want to eat an apple? Learn how to make brachas. I'm not mechuyev to run around Arvus to be Motzi you on Birchas HaNehanim. Don't eat the apple if you don't know how to make a bracha. So comes the Gemara and says, "Afal pi she'atzmotzi fall short by Birchas HaNedarim." So now we have almost a tricky question. Where does Birchas HaMazon fit into in the scheme of things? We have these two different categories of brachas. We have Birchas HaMitzvahs on the one hand, and we have Birchas HaNedarim on the other hand. So Birchas HaMitzvahs are for an absolute chi of gomor, and therefore you say, Afal pi she'atzmotzi arvus on them. Birchas HaNedarim, you don't say that. Where is Birchas HaMazon? So Birchas HaMazon is a funny thing, because it has characteristics of both. It gets stuck in the middle. On the one hand, nobody told the guy to eat. He wasn't the chuy of deed in the first place. So maybe benching is closer to the model of Birchas HaNedarim, and we would not be able to apply Afal pi she'atzmotzi. On the other hand, once he ate already, now he's mechuyev to bench. It's not a voluntary bracha anymore. Before you ate the bread, before you ate the apple, nobody told you to eat the apple. So the eating of the apple and the bracha that preceded it was in a sense a davar shel rishus. You can't say arvus on it. But once you already ate your bread and you're mechuyev to bench, so then now it becomes elevated to the status of the spedek of Birchas HaMitzvah. Now it's like Kriyas HaHalal. Now it's like Kriyas HaMegillah. So maybe that's the nekudas machlokes between Taisa and the Baal Halacha Gedolos. The Taisa understood that Birchas HaMazon takes on the status of a Birchas HaMitzvah, and therefore Afal pi she'atzmotzi would be appropriate. Whereas according to Baal Halacha Gedolos, Birchas HaMazon in its essence always remains closer to the Baal of Birchas HaNedarim, and therefore Afal pi she'atzmotzi would not apply. So that was really just the shirayim, it's the end of what we left off with hanging at the end of last week's shir. But now I want to move on. Yeah.
Would Birchas HaNedarim be different, if, let's say, for like a yantif meal or something where somebody's going to leave?
Okay, excellent. So actually, the Gemara says in the end of the third paragraph of Hashanah, there are two Birchas HaNedarim that are elevated to be like Birchas HaMitzvahs. One of them is the Bar Pi HaGofen of Kiddush, and the other is the Hamotzi of Matzah. So let's say I can make Kiddush for you, without my being drinking the wine. I already made Kiddush. I want to do you a favor. I come to your house an hour later to make Kiddush for you. And I'm not going to drink the wine. So the Gemara says, that's okay. I could be motzi in the Bar Pri HaGofen and the Kiddush. You can drink the wine. I'll smach my bracha. Because Afal pi she'atzmotzi applies to the Birchas HaMazon of Kiddush. Because since Kiddush is the Birchas HaMitzvah, so the Birchas HaNedarim becomes incorporated, becomes subsumed under the heading of the Birchas HaMitzvah. The same is true for the motzi of Achilas Matzah. But the Gemara does not say, even though there would have been a good argument like you're suggesting, maybe it should be true, I also do Shabbos, also do Yom Tov. After all, I have to eat the bread. So somehow Chazal understood that even though it's true, I have to eat the bread, still the Birchas, the Bracha of Hamotzi is still be Ikaron of Birchas HaNedarim. It's still not really a Birchas HaMitzvah. So I could have heard an argument to the contrary, but Lamaisa, that's, as we say, it's interesting, because when the Gemara singles out the only two Brachas that this is true for, the Gemara only speaks about the Bar Pri HaGofen for Kiddush and the Hamotzi for Matzah. So the later post can discuss that there may be some others. There may be other Birchas HaNedarim that accompany Birchas HaMitzvahs. One of the famous ones is Birchas Erusin. The Bracha Bar Pri HaGofen under the Chuppah is also a Birchas HaNedarim that accompanies what appears to be a Birchas HaMitzvah. The Bracha Shekin Nisharu, this is pointed to the Rambam. So Shuach is said to be a Birchas HaMitzvah. So this is a real Shaila. When the Masada Kedushin recites the Bar Pri HaGofen and the Birchas Erusin to be Motzi, the Chassid, and the Kala, must the Masada Kedushin drink some of the wine or not? So if you hold that this Bar Pri HaGofen becomes part and parcel of the Birchas HaErusin, then the same way that it's not necessary to drink the wine when you make Kiddush, it's not necessary to drink the wine when you recite Birchas HaErusin. But if you hold that maybe Birchas HaErusin is different, why should Birchas HaErusin be different? So many people can say, because you're not really mechuyev to say Birchas HaErusin over wine. It's only a minig that we have. Midin in the Gemara, you can make Birchas HaErusin without wine. We do it just to show chashivas to the Birchas HaErusin. That's a loaded question. If that's the case, that midin in the Gemara, you don't even have to say Bar Pri HaGofen at the time of Birchas HaErusin. What right do you have to say that the Bar Pri HaGofen becomes part and parcel of the Birchas HaErusin? So it's a strange thing. The minig Yisrael makes the Bar Pri HaGofen part of Birchas HaErusin. That's what some say. And others say not. So there are different minhagim amongst different Masada Kedushin. So there are some Masada Kedushin that are makpid to take a little bit of a drink of the cup before they give it to the Chassid and Kala. But, you know, it's not nice. It's like, who's going to drink from the cup and hand them? It's a good way of spreading germs. So that's not usually what happens. So some Masada Kedushin, if you look very carefully, they'll spill a little bit of wine on their hand and then they'll lick it a little bit before they hand over the cup. It's said over that Reb Chaim Brisker used to do that. There are different versions as to whether that story is true or not. There is a story told that Reb Chaim used to do that whenever he was Masada Kedushin, because he was concerned that maybe the Birchas of Bar Pri HaGofen is not covered as being part of the Birchas HaMitzvahs. And the Brisker Rav denied that story. The Brisker Rav apparently said that he never saw his father. He saw his father Masada Kedushin many times, he never saw him do it. So there are two different versions as to the response. Some say that the Biskarov was Eid Neman, and therefore the whole story was Buba Meitzes. And some say Reb Chaim did it so discreetly that his own son never picked up on it. So again, I'm not going to judge. But I'll tell you, Meitzes Shorakachoya, I relied on, when I'm a side condition, so again, from the Messiah I have is I don't bother doing that. I just hand them the cup and finish like most of the side condition do. But I use that model of spilling a little bit of the wine onto your hand in the following. A couple of weeks ago, I was at a bris, so the baby was situated, it was kind of like outdoors. The door to the house was open, and the bris was basically indoors, and everybody else was standing outdoors, and the people were calling for kibbutzim were posech hashtasifim. They were a little one foot in, one foot out. So they're mechabin me to make the bracha of Asher Kiddush. So the minig is we say the bracha of Bar Priyag Ofen, and then we say Asher Kiddush, and then the person usually drinks a little bit of the wine at that point, and then they fill it up, and then they name the baby, and etc. So I got to that point, and I said Baruch Hashem Karei Sabris, and then I was about to drink some of the wine, and then I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I'm not touching this wine in my mouth, because this wine is going into the baby's mouth. The second later, they're going to stick the tassif with into the bala, the cup of wine. I did not take any chrys these days of drinking from a cup of wine and having that wine be put into a baby's mouth. So I was quickly looking around like for a plastic cup, like to spill some wine in to make the bar priyagof, to be towing right after the bar priyagof. But I didn't see any wine, so I had to think really fast. So all of a sudden, that story of Reb Chaim, that story that did not happen, flashed in front of my eyes. That's what I did. So I tilted the cup a little bit. I spilled it on my wrist. I took a little lick from I take my mask off for a split second, licked it, and then put it back on, and then handed the cup off to the mile and scooted out of there as fast as I could before anyone noticed what happened. So that's the COVID safe way of drinking from the Asher Kiddush wine.
And it could have been that what Reb Chaim did was just an accident.
Yeah. That's a legend sometimes thought. It's interesting because even about the Asher Kiddush is also not so posh. So sometimes let's say when you have a bris on a fast day, so depending on Yom Kippur, Tishba, the other times it's different than talking about this, but there are some have to practice, at least not on Yom Kippur, that you make a bar priyagofen, you make a Asher Kiddush, and you give a little bit of the wine to a katan, someone who's not fasting, give a little bit of the wine to the katan to drink. So the problem is, how can you do that? How can I make birchas a bar priyagofen if I'm not going to drink? So the answer is, the same way we say about birchas erusin, that even though we needed the gemara, you don't have to say bar priyagofen before Asher Kiddush. It's a minig. The bracha of Asher Kiddush has been dinin the gemara. That appears in the Brice, that appears at the end of the 19th parak of Shabbos. But the recitation of Bar Priyagofen as an introduction, that's only a minig Yisrael. So it's the same svar that some poskim say that the minig Yisrael makes the Bar Priyagofen like a shtichel brichsa mitzvah also. And I can make a Bar Priyagofen, I'll smach that somebody else is going to drink. So we do that by a tainus. So I had to do this once. It wasn't a tainus. It was a strange story. It goes back years ago. It goes back, just about 13 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, the baby who was of this bris, I think it was just my mitzvah, if I'm not mistaken, this past Sukkot. So it was Erev Sukkot. I had a bris in Brooklyn on Erev Sukkot, and whatever time it is, they scheduled davening, whatever, 7 o'clock. So I left, I remember I left early in the morning, knowing traffic, you hit some good serious traffic. And with all said and done, I still missed davening Lagamre in Shine. So what am I gonna do? So I pulled in there about 40 minutes after davening had started, just in time for the bris. So my luck, they called me up to make the bracha of Bar Priyagofen and Asher Kiddush. But the problem is I hadn't davened yet. You're not allowed to drink before you daven. So I remember I had it must have been Mary Yaakov at the time. So it was 13 years ago. So Mary Yaakov was about 8 years old, whatever it was. My eldest son. So when I thought what was going to happen, so I said, stand right next to me, right? Don't budge. And I'm going to make a bar priyagof, and you're going to listen to my bracha. And then I'm going to give you I'm going to give you some of the wine to drink. So nobody knew what was going on. I thought maybe I have a minute to fast again, because nobody knew what happening. And then I explained that I hadn't done Shachris yet. The good news was, I never forget that one of the milestones, I guess, of having a bris in the heart of Flatbush was that I remember right after my kibbutz, I ran downstairs to chop the next minyan, and by the time they finished out with that next minyan, I was in time to pick up my shirayim with my bagels and an Erev Sukkot for my suda for the bris. So you get all in one deal in some of the shtivlach in Brooklyn. But anyway, getting back to that story. So this was all just Shiraim. It's not even what I want to talk about today. There's all the leftovers from last week. So now let's begin to see if we can start to move forward in the sugya. Give me 1 second. A cup of water.
We don't have any questions about bracha achrona of this kind, right?
Yeah, well, we're not gonna drink more than a ravias or anything of this kinds of wines. We'll let it go in terms of bracha achrona at this point. But I want to now continue with the sugya of Shemei Koine, back to Masech HaSukkah, those who have a Gemara Masech HaSukkah. So a fascinating Tosfos. The Tosfos on Daf Lamech Ches Amud Beis, right smack in the middle of that sugya. It's a very, very important Tosfos, potentially Halacha L'maaseh. So let's take a look at the Tosfos Shamav La'ana Yotza. It's the second Tosfos from the bottom on Lamech Ches Amud Beis. Shamav La'ana Yotza. Mishen Adel Likros. If a person doesn't know how to say Hallel, V'lo La'anos, doesn't know how to even answer Halukos at the right place. Im Shama V'kivin Aslibu L'shmoa. As long as he had in mind and he listened, he paid attention, and in mind to be Yetze. Af B'shalo Ani Yotza. Finished. That's Shemei Koine. No matter that's it. Now Tosfos says, V'chein, and similarly, L'mispalim B'tzibur, person's davening in a minyan, V'shaliach Tzibur Ome Kedusha O Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach. He's in the middle of Shemon Esrei, and the Tzibur is up to Kedusha ready. Amazing. It happens to some people every single day. That if you're davening at a little bit of a slow pace in the Tzibur, you can have the Shadow all the time. So you're in the middle of Yerushalayim Ircha, and the Chazan's ready up to Kedusha. What do you do? Or it's at Meir. Happens all the time. Just happened to me about 20 minutes ago. Middle of Shemon Esrei, and they get to the Kaddish. Kaddish after Shemon Esrei. What do you do? So you can't talk in the middle. You're not allowed to be mafsik in Shemon Esrei. So says tells us, no big deal. Says, just listen, yishtaku mitfilosan, to stop davening for a few seconds, v'yishmu, and listen, have in mind, as if you're saying those words, v'rehein ka'inin, and it's as if you answered Kaddish Kedusha. The din is, when you hear a Dovah Shem Kedusha, you're mechuyf to answer a Dovah Shem Kedusha, but here you're in a pickle, because you can't talk to the Dovah Shem Kedusha, right? No big deal. Just have in mind to be yaitzi to Shemei Koine, uchushe yigmor Kedusha. As soon as Kedusha is over, just go back to where you left off, right smack in the middle of Shemon Esrei. V'chein yisein Rav Yudoi Gon Balochas Gedolos. And this appears in the Balochas Gedolos, which Tosfos understood the Balochas Gedolos was written by Rav Yudoi Gon. We pointed out in the past, there were actually two different traditions in the Rishonim who wrote the Balochas Gedolos. It wasn't even clear who exactly wrote it. The Tosfos assumed that it was written by Rav Yudoi Gon, one of the Gaonim who lived in Bavel. Rav Yudoi Gon was actually blind, and if it was written by him, it was written actually by his Tamidim. And the other version, other Rishonim say it was written by a man, Ben Shimon, from in Tunisia, if I'm not mistaken, from a city in Tunisia, again around the same period of time, from the Tkufas Gaonim, but not from the Babylonian Gaonim. The word Gaonim was a little bit of a tricky term. The technical term Gaonim really only referred to the two Rosh Yeshivas and the Yeshivas in Bavel. There was the Sura and there was Pupadisa, were the two main Yeshivas in Bavel throughout the period, even after the days of the Gemara, through the 500 years or so after the period of the Gemara. Those were the two mainstays of Yeshivas in Bavel. So technically that was the title that was given to Rosh Yeshivas of those Yeshivas. It was called the Gaonim. We somehow almost extended that term a little bit, that any great Gaon who lived in the time of the Gaonim was kind of called, got the term Gaon also. So it's not exactly clear who wrote the Sefer Balach Gedolos, but it was written at that time in the period of the Gaonim. So this idea of the Balach Gedolos and Tosfos, Mishpat Kudrus, it actually appears in Rashi. Rashi holds this way as well. So comes Tosfos and throws a lot of questions at this. Tosfos says, how can you apply Shemei Koine here? It seems to be against the Gemara. Because there's a Gemara in Brachas that says, "If Yochel lehascha v'ligmor actually agiash le'tzibul kedusha yispalo v'blav le'yispalo." The Gemara says that if a person walks into shul late and they realize that the chazan is about to start, they're about to start Shmoneh Esrei, the tzibul is about to begin Shmoneh Esrei, right? And this person makes a quick cheshbon that if he starts to, let's say if he comes in late for Mayer, he starts to say Kriya Shema, by the time he gets around to Shemoneh Esrei, he's going to start Shemoneh Esrei, he's going to miss, okay, Mayer is not going to, leave out Mayer, because he's going to miss out Kedusha. He's not going to be done with Ishva Nasre till the Shlechtim is already up to Kedusha. So the Gemara says, so wait, so don't start yet. It's not worth it to lose Kedusha. So if you start with the Tzibur on time, everything's Kibin Hagum Noigs, hopefully you'll finish with them as well. But if you realize in advance that you're already late to Shul and you're never ever going to catch up for Kedusha, so it's better to wait it out and don't start Kedusha. Don't start Shva Nasre. The Yeshom Sham came to Modim. Some say that you have to make sure the answer Modim also. The Lama Lan Kulayan says, tells others to the Gemara Brachas. Why does the Gemara say not to daven? Yispal Kedarakal Shigiyasham Yishtalik. What happened to Rashi and the Baal Lachas Gedolos is Eitza? If the Baal Lachas Gedolos and Rashi are right, they could be Eitza Kedusha through Shemek Oinah. So why does the Gemara frown upon that? What's wrong with that? Why does the Gemara say not to do that? Elavade says to us that the reason why the Gemara didn't accept that, because it wouldn't work. Why wouldn't it work? What's wrong with this Eitza? So tell us it's a fascinating problem. Elavade, im haya shosek, haysa shmiyaso, havsakas tfilosoi. Tosa says, if you're in the middle of Shemini Esrei, and the Chazan is going to get up to Kedusha, and you're going to stop and have a mind to be Yotze, that's great, that's wonderful. Shemei HaKaina, what you heard is as if you spoke. And it's as if you were just mafsik in the middle of Shemini Esrei. Shemei HaKaina hurts you. We always think Shemei HaKaina works for you, yeah, sometimes, and sometimes against you. So it says Tosfos that if you really believe that Shemei HaKaina works to help you be Yotze Kedusha, that's the worst thing you can do. That's the last thing you'd want to do. Because by being Yetzik Kedusha, you are, in effect, being Masik in the middle of Yishma Nesri. So that's why the Gemara doesn't give that as an option. Rashi obviously held you could split between the two. Rashi obviously understood. Shemek Ono works for you. Doesn't work against you. So you can use it to be Yetzik Kedusha, but it's not considered to be a Hefzik. So hopefully we'll come back in a moment to what that Machlekes is all about. But Tosa still is stuck with that Gemara and Bracha. So again, we have Gemara and Bracha that says clearly we come late to Shul. So forget about davening with the Tzibur. You blew it already. Answer Kedusha. More important, focus on Kedusha. So ask Tosa, according to Rashi, who says it could be Yotzi Kedusha to Shemei Koine, why don't you Efshel Lekam Shem? You can do both. Umi Yoshema Afagat to Shemei Koine. So those are very, very cryptic answer. Taisa says that maybe according to Rashi, Shemei HaKoneh is like a b'di'evit. Like l'chadchila, Shemei HaKoneh is not so great. It's really better to do everything on yourself. Nebuch, what are you doing? No choice, Shemei HaKoneh. So says Taisa, b'das Rashi, if you're coming to shul late and you have an option of either losing our Kedusha entirely or hearing Kedusha through Shemei HaKoneh, it's better just forget Kedusha. It's not Kedusha. Just to say Kedusha now. Forget your davening in the Tzibur. Wait for Kedusha. Hear Kedusha like a mensch. Don't rely on Shemei HaKoneh. So this is a very, very loaded Tosfos. We're going to hopefully come back to this a moment later. Tosfos just told us Shemei HaKoneh is not the greatest thing in the world. It works. The kvetch, it works. Abidiyah works, but it's not lechatchila. We have no idea why that should be so. So I want to begin to focus and analyze. There's a lot of stuff going on in this Tosfos right now. Let's see if we could just break down this Tosfos to its basic components. Everybody agrees as a Nidush Shemei HaKoneh. Everybody agrees I could be Yaitse Kiddush, I could be Yaitse Pesha Zohar, and Kriyas HaMegillah, and Birchas HaMitzvahs, and Pesha Zohar. I could use it for Deir Isis, I could use Deir Abundance. Everyone under the sun agrees there's a Sugya Shemei HaKoneh. We spoke about it last week. It's Allah HaMashim Sinai, Pesachim, whatever the Mokar is, everyone agrees it exists. Rashi understood that Shemei HaKoneh is great. It can only help you. It can never hurt you. You can't use Shemei HaKoneh against you and say, aha, you just heard something and you weren't supposed to be talking. It's as if you were talking and now it's as if you were mopsy. Rashi says that doesn't exist. That model doesn't exist. And Taisa says, yes, it does. Taisa says that it's a big problem. Shemei HaKoneh can work against you, can cause you trouble as well. What is the Nekudas Machlokes? What are they arguing about? Should Shemei HaKoneh constitute a hefsek or not? So if you remember back to last week or 2 weeks ago, when we first introduced Shemei HaKoneh, I think even a few weeks ago, we mentioned that there's a major machlokes, the Gedolei Acharonim, what exactly the mechanics of Shemei HaKoneh roll about. What is going on in Shemei HaKoneh? Shemei HaKoneh can be understood in one of two ways. Either you can understand Shemei HaKoneh to mean that there are many, many mitzvahs Shebe Dibur in the Torah. There's the Kiddush, and there's Mitzvah Deraisa, Mitzvah Rabbanan, there's Kriyas HaHalal, Kriyas HaMegillah, a lot of mitzvah Shebe Dibur. And the starting point is, the way to be Yaitz mitzvah Shebe Dibur is through the vehicle of Dibur. Come Shemei HaKoneh and says, there's route number two. There are two ways to fulfill mitzvah shebedibur. One is pshuto kemashmel through dibur, and the other is through shamei koina. Shamei koina is another way. It's not that my shmia is a dibur. My shmia is not a dibur. My shmia is route number two. It's like halof of dalos. Multiple routes to get there. And my destination is such and such. I have to get to the George Washington Bridge. There are a lot of ways to get to George Washington Bridge from my house. I could take Route 4, I could take 8095, I could take the streets, I could have a million ways, Jones Road, half a dozen ways to get to the same place. So there are a lot of ways to get to being Yaitz Mitzvah Shebe Dibur. There's Dibur and there's Shemir. Well, maybe Bechlal, that's not Pshat. The Pshat is that Shemir Koine means that there's only one mechanism, only one method to be Yaitz Mitzvah Shebe Dibur, and that's the Dibur. What Shemir Koine means is something startling. Shemir Koine means somebody else's Dibur relates to me. How does that happen? If I didn't do the dibur, how does that relate to me? Well, it's not such a wild notion. We have shlichus in the Torah, so shlichus happens to fail us under certain circumstances, but shlichus sometimes works. So there's a din I have to be mafish truma. If somebody else's mafish truma is my shlich, it's as if I was mafish the truma. I have to be mekadosh asisha. If somebody else does it on my behalf, it's as if I did it. So the parish of shlichus exists. So shemei koine is almost like a quasi shlichus. It's not identical to shlichus, but it's similar to shlichus in the sense that the dibur of Pliny is as if I did it. So what's the lumdus? What's going on? What's the nature of this din of shemeka? Does shemeka mean that shmiya is a valid method to be yaitze mitzvah shebe dibur, but not that the shmiya is called a dibur? The shmiya is like the shmiya. Or no, your dibur is mesiachis to me. So remember a couple of weeks ago we said this was the machlokes, the Beis Halevi and the Chazon Ish. Can you say shemeka in it when there are other components involved besides just dibur? What if the halacha requires a dibur but kol ram? Let's say by birchas kohanim. So birchas kohanim, it's not enough for the kohen just to say the words. He has to, not literally scream it, but he has to say it loud enough that somebody else hears him. But kol ram, the Gemara learns that from Sukkim. If the kohen just whispers and nobody hears him, he's not yitzeh. So the Beis Halevi had a famous chiddush that you can't say shebe kohenia on dinim of kol ram, you can't say shebe kohenia on birchas kohanim, because a shmiya is not kol ram. A shmiya may be good enough to be yaitze mitzvah shebe dibur, but kol ram is nisht. I'm not hearing a kol ram. It's not toifes. My eardrums don't create a kol ram. My eardrums can create a mechanism to be yaitze mitzvah shebe dibur, but when the halacha requires kol ram, my eardrums don't have the ability to create a kol ram, so there is no kol ram. But if you hold like the other tzad, that shemei kohen means your dibur relates to me, so good. So your dibur relates to me, and your koram relates to me. Whatever comes out of your mouth, my mouth, pika picha. Whatever comes out of your mouth is as if it came out of my mouth. I didn't open up my mouth, it doesn't matter. The same way that your dibur is misyachis to me, your koram is misyachis to me as well. So that was a famous machlekes, the Gedolei Olam, as to whether shemei koine can be used when there are other added components, other added halachas as well. This is the background for a part from the Rugged Shavu. The Rugged Shavu Gulin said that what's the source of the Minig Yisrael, the Kriyas HaMegillah, that when we get to the Aseres Bnei Haman, so the Bakuri stops, and everybody says the Aseres Bnei Haman together, right? Everyone says it themselves, and then the Bakuri repeats it. What was wrong with the rest of the Megillah? The Bakuri said everything, I'm listening to Bakuri. Why does everybody have to say Aseres Bnei Haman on their own? So the Pashup shot is because since the Bakari says it very fast, because the Gemara says he's supposed to say it in the Shema Ach, he's supposed to say it in one breath, so sometimes we're afraid that maybe Bakari will say it so fast, people won't hear clearly, so you'll miss a word here and there. So that's the Pashup shot in the minute. But the Rabbi Shabbat said, no, it's a Litvish Avoid, it's a Mistangvish Avoid, not a, that's Stama Pashup shot, well, Hagdara. Says the Rabbi Shabbat that there's a din, that when you say it, it has to be in the Shema Achas, it has to be one breath. You can't say Shemei Ko'ine on Neshima Achas. Shemei Ko'ine means that there's a mitzvah Shebedibor, so I can be Yaitse mitzvah Shebedibor through Shemiya. But whenever there are added characteristics, added halachas, other factors that have to go into fulfilling the mitzvah, again, it's not Ma'akha B'Diyavit. Neshima Achas is not Ma'akha B'Diyavit. But Lechatchi Lechazal V'Mesakha, you should say it in Neshima Achas. So that component, that added kiyum, fulfillment of Neshima Achas, cannot be fulfilled through Shemei Koine. That can only be fulfilled through a dibur. So you can't hear, you don't breathe, your eardrums don't breathe, you breathe through your mouth. So your speech, your words can be described as being B'nishim Achas, but your hearing cannot be described as being B'nishim Achas. So therefore the Rabbi Shabbat said that in order to get this added, to get this added component of B'nishim Achas, it's necessary for everybody to stop and to actually say the words themselves, and then the Bakari says it all for himself. So getting back to our story, this machlokes as to what Shema Kohen is may set the stage for this machlokes Rashi and Tosfos as well. Does it make sense to call Shema Kohen a hefsek? So if you hold that Shema Kohen, nobody's talking, I'm not talking, I'm being yaitzi with my eardrums. Eardrums are not a hefsek. If I'm in the middle of doing a mitzvah and I stop and I just listen for a second, I don't do anything, I'm listening to there's a commotion out in the street and I listen. It's not a nice thing to do. You shouldn't stop in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. But if you stop in the middle of a mitzvah and you don't open your mouth, you don't say a word, it's not a hefsek. So shmiya is not nitfas as a hefsek. So if you hold that shmiya ko'ayin, it just means that I did a shmiya and my shmiya is good to perform mitzvah shebedibor, that's wonderful. It's good to perform mitzvah shebedibor, but it's not a problem to create a hefsek. So therefore, can I have my cake and eat it? So that's exactly that's what Rashi says. That's what the Baal Halachas Medrash says. That there's nothing wrong with being in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, listening to Kaddish and Kedusha, having in mind to be Yaitzeh, so you get credit for Shedusha through a vehicle of Shemoneh Koineh, and you have everything to gain, nothing to lose, because I can't say that my Shemiya constitutes a hefsek. Masha'en Kein, according to the other Tzad of Tosfos, that no, the same Shemoneh Koineh that helps me to be Yaitzeh Mitzvah is what does it in for me as well. Because if you believe that Shema is Ka'oineh, so Tosfos understood Shema Ka'oineh means that there's a Dibur going on that becomes my Dibur, whether I like it or not. So the same way that Dibur becomes mine for the good, it becomes mine for the bad also. So the same halacha, the same vehicle of Shema Ka'oineh that enabled me to be Yaitzeh Mitzvah is now preventing me from being Yaitzeh properly because it's creating a hefsek for me. So, l'chora, this machlokes Rashi and Tosfos seems to be very, very much related to this general question as to what Shema Ka'oneh is all about. It's interesting,
So, when we say hefsek, means there is hesach hadat from what we're doing, right?
Right, but hesach...
So when you shomea something else, obviously you're not thinking about what you're doing now. So there is an hefsek.
Right, but 100%, but that kind of a heschada, so in Ochanam, like a chila, one should not stop in the middle and just listen to what's going on outside. But halachically, it's only called a hefsek if you actually speak. Only that's considered to be a real bona fide hefsek to require you to actually repeat the mitzvah.
So the other thing, I'm wondering, is it possible to put the mahloket, Rashi and Tosfot, in different situation? So when Rashi says, the hefsek doesn't matter, is when you start with the tzibur and you are part of the tzibur. But if you come late and you start your own, maybe that's what Tosfot means.
Right, so that's a question. So you're mechaving to a Mishabur. Mishabur talks about that possible difference. Mishabur raises the question, is that if you take that Gemara to the utmost, to the ultimate conclusion, that Kedusha is so important, so forget that a guy comes late to shul. A guy comes on time to shul. He starts Shemoneh Esrei with the Tzibur, but he hasn't finished his Shemoneh Esrei in the last 20 years before the Chazan gets the Kedusha. He's always late. He's always behind the times. So would we tell such a person that he should never daven with a minion? He can never daven with a minion. He's davening Kedas HaChadin. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. So that's exactly the Mishabur talks about, that very question. But it is a put between the two. It's interesting because we have almost another application of this. They're not so much in terms of Kaddish and Kedusha, we have that also. There's another fascinating application of this Shaila of whether doing a mitzvah in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, through Shemaya Koineh, through a Shemiyah, is that cut through the Hefsek? Let's say a person is in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, and it comes time for Birchas Kohanim. So he's not a Kohen, he's Yisrael. So the Kohanim get up and they're about to start saying Birchas Kohanim. So the question is he supposed to stop or not? What should this person do at that point? Should he stop and listen to the Birchas Kohanim, or should we say no, maybe that's the wrong thing to do? So this is a little bit trickier, because when it comes to Kaddish Kedusha, we had a Machlekes Rashi and Tzitzis, and Shulchan Aruch we pass like Rashi, Halach LaMaaseh we pass like Rashi, that Yutaka should stop Shemoneh Esrei and just listen to the Kedusha. When we say listen to Kedusha, you don't have to listen to the whole Chazan's rendition of Memkomcha. You just have to listen to Kaddish, and Baruch Kavod, and Amid of Akela Kaddish, everything in the middle is this Menhagim. But the post came out of Shaila, what would the din be if a person in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, and the Chazan gets up to Birchas Kohanim, the Kohanim get up to Duchen, and I want to know, should I listen or not? So by Kaddish Kedusha, I understand I'm being Yaitzeh something, so it makes sense, Shemei Kohanim. What am I being Yaitzeh? I'm a Yisrael. What is the goal? What is the purpose? What am I accomplishing by simply listening to Birchas Kohanim? So there is a question, whether the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim is a mitzvah only given to the Kohanim, Levareches Am Yisrael B'Ava, or is the mitzvah L'Hisparech as well? Does the Yisrael, who is the recipient of the bracha, constantly getting a mitzvah now? Is there a mitzvah L'Hisparech Haidei Kohen? So that's a big shiloh. So the Ritva in Masechah Sukkah, actually, earlier on in the third parak of Sukkah, I think we spoke about this months ago, if I'm not mistaken, the Ritva has a comment that there's no mitzvah L'Hisparech. But one of the later Svarim, the Sefer HaCharedim, so it's of the opinion of the Polskim Kodah from the Gdolech from the Sefer HaCharedim, who disagrees and says, no, there's actually a mitzvah L'Hisparech. So that's a question. So I usually get this Shaila on the, which is like one of the first, if you could, everyone just, please just, literally just 1 second, just hold on 1 second, 1 second, 1 second. Hello? Maybe just a little shear, is that okay? Not any change? Nothing. Okay, good. Okay, sorry, just had to keep the phone off or something. I usually get the Shaila the first, usually the first day at NTS White Cola, because you have a bunch of American boys who they get hit like a ton of bricks with Birchas Kohanim and they're coming and going. The first day, they're used to Birchas Kohanim, you know, in the end of a Musaf, on a Yontif, when everyone's B'Yishev Adas, there's already been a long Kedusha, there's been a long Shlep Tachazos HaShatz, but here all of a sudden they get hit with the Birchas Kohanim on a regular Shachmas on a Tuesday morning, and half the time they came late to davening, so they're playing catch up, and all of a sudden they're in the middle of Shemad Esrei, and all of a sudden they had that 20 Kohanim are giving them Yevarech HaShem Yishmeh. What am I supposed to do, Rabbi? What am I supposed to do? So the Pesach of Shaila, is it better to stop at that point and just listen to Birchas Kohanim, not to answer, just to listen, or no? So we'll just keep on davening. So I thought it depends on that machlokes, the Ritva and the Sefer Charedim. Is there really a mitzvah L'Hisparech? If the Ritva is right that there's really no mitzvah L'Hisparech, so what are you doing? So why are you stopping the Shemad Esrei? As you said correctly, so you know, you're not supposed to stop the Shemad Esrei, just stop and look around and just wait for 10 minutes. That's not right. So if you're not gaining anything, then why are you being mafsik for? So when it comes to Kaddish Kedusha, there's what to be gained. But when it comes to Birchas Kohanim, there's not much to be gained. So if you hold like the Sefer Charedim, there's a mitzvah L'Hisparech, then maybe it would make sense too. So you have a lot of these kinds of shaylos come up. Again, all based that we follow Shittas Rashi. The Halacha L'Mais in Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, we do follow Shittas Rashi. That if you end up stuck on the Lishman Esrei, does make sense taka to stop and to listen to that mind be Yadishman. So this was still the introduction. We didn't even get to what I wanted to talk about tonight. I mean, we still got plenty, not too much time left. But I wanted this all to set the stage for the next Akuda, which is really, really the mainstay of what I wanted to at least get started with tonight, hopefully as we're moving to next week as well. I want to talk about a third possibility that appears in Rishonim, about the same Shiloh. Not Rashi's conclusion that you stop in the Moshe Bonas and just listen, be Yetzvich Mekoyne. And not Tosis' conclusion that you better not do that because Shemei Kohen is going to hurt you. If it helps you, it hurts you as well. There's a third possibility. You're probably wondering, what could it possibly be? Either do that or don't do that. What could be in the middle? So there's a view that appears in the Sefer Shiboli HaLekech. Well, HaLekech was a Rishon, and he collects a lot of different sheets from different Rishonim. And the Sefer, the Beis Yosef quotes him fairly often. In the Sefer Shiboli HaLeket, so the Shiboli HaLeket quotes a third possibility. Not Rashi's Shpiat of stopping and listening, I have mind to be Yetzei. And not Taisa's Shpiat that that's the worst thing in the world to do because that's going to ruin, that's going to kill a few because Shemei Kohen is going to do you in. Shiboli HaLeket quotes Rishonim who say, it's garnish to help him, as we say in Yiddish. It's not going to help anyway. It's not going to do you anything. It's not going to do you any good. You're in the middle of Shemei Esrei. And you think that stopping and listening for Shemei HaKohenah, invoking Shemei HaKohenah, and listening to Kaddish Kedusha, you're not going to be Yaitzeh that way. You know why? Says the Shiboli HaLeket, Shemei HaKohenah only works when you have the ability to be Aina. So Shemei equals the Aina. Those who have the ability to be Aina have the ability to be Yaitzeh through Shemei HaKohenah. But if it's, you don't have the ability to be on it, you couldn't be on it if you wanted to be on it, because to be on it would be a hefsek. That's called inability, you cannot even say Shemei Koine. The inability to be Oina prevents you from being Yaitzi to Shemei Koine.
So can we say, can we say Kedusha in its essence was born, was developed to permit this? In other words, it, Kedusha and Shemei Esrei in itself has its a special kiyum for the tzibor.
Well, so, normally we would expect that the tzibor is going to say the words of Kedusha. So
no, but the whole tefillah the whole tefillah, including Kedusha, has a special role for the tzibor. You know, like there's a Mishnah that if you say Musaf, tefillah itself was metakin by the Rabbanim with certain criteria. So within that criteria, they could permit it.
It could be almost like Chazal built that into the system. That we're saying that based on the regular rules, it shouldn't work. But because that Lamai said that's Daka Shalom, this is what happens in a regular shul. People come late to shul. Chazal knew people come late to shul. So it's kind of built in as maybe possibly. I don't know. So the Shabbat, let me quote this fascinating idea that in order to be Yaitzeh Mitzvah Shibadibor, you don't have to be Yonah. Shemei HaKohen is a Mishnah. Shemei HaKohen is a Lach Vashin. It's a Din Deraisa. You don't have to be Yonah. But what you have to have is ability to be Yonah. The inability to be Yonah will be a Ma'akev in the ability to be Yaitzeh Mitzvah. It's a startling statement, a startling concept. Yeah, Arya.
Is that physical and halakhic ability?
Oh, boom, wow, you're already three steps ahead of me. So the Shibali Aleket is a chiddush, agabe chiddush one. It's hard enough to say that Shtichul Torah, that the inability to do something ruins it for you, which we're far from sure we understand that. But then the question is this called inability? I mean, who are you kidding? The guy can open up his mouth right now if he wanted to. So the Teretz is that the inability in halacha creates the inability to be called in a royal kach, in a sense. That's the chiddush gabi chiddush of Shibali Aleket. So we're going to see, hopefully, as the sugya begins to develop, that there are some Rishonim who never heard of this, including Rashi and Tosfos. The whole, this is a foreign concept. The inability to be able to be oina prevents you, Shibali Aleket, never heard of such a thing. And then we're going to find the possibility that even those Rishonim who accept the ikaron of Shibali Aleket, to say it that it applies even to a halachic inability, that's already stretching. That's already too much. It's like Moshe Mandavadayim, Rashi says in Chumash Pashas V'yelech, Moshe Rabbeinu says that it turns to Klai, so he says it's the last day of his life. Lo uchal oid lo tzeis v'lavo. I can't anymore. Lo uchal oid lo tzeis v'lavo. So I would think that means Moshe Rabbeinu is an old man. He's 120 years old. He can't anymore. He's showing it. He ran out of koiches, right? There's no koiches anymore. Like I think if I'm not mistaken, I think that they say that the last words out of Moshe Feinstein's mouth was, he said something along the lines of, no more koiches. No, he ran out of strength. So that's what I would say, Pshat in the puzzle. Uchal alav tzedlavay. Never he ran out of strength. So Rashi quotes, no, what do you mean? Uchal alav tzedlavay. Moshe Rabbeinu is very strong. He climbs a mountain on the last day of his life. He writes 13 Sefer Torah in one shot. He's strong physically to the very, very, to the last minute. What does it mean? If Rabban Shalom said you can't do it, then my feet won't move. If Rabban Shalom said I can't do it. My body won't budge. Not because I don't have the koiches. My muscles are as strong as they were when I was 20 years old. But Rabban Shalom is like, that's it. Lo chalol letzeis lavo. So the Shibali Aleket was a big ma'amin. He's saying that la uchal adaber, I can't speak. I cannot speak. Asher esim lo kim mifil so adaber. Not the best person we want to quote on that one, but that's what the Shibali Aleket is saying. That the guy in the middle Shmoneh Esrei cannot talk. His mouth doesn't work. He is mute. He's not physically mute. He's halakhically mute, and therefore Shemei Koine doesn't apply for a person who's mute, whether they're physically mute or halakhically mute. That's a chiddush agabi chiddush agabi chiddush.
And the bigger chiddush is the halachic.
I think the bigger chiddush is even the first part. I think they're both big chiddush. It's hard to argue which is the bigger chiddush. So wait a second. I don't understand. I missed the boat here. What kind of law is this? I want to be yaitz mitzvah through shemiyah. I don't want to be oina. I don't want to talk. I'm not interested in talking. I want to be yaitz through shemiyah. And I can be yaitz with shemiyah. I don't have to talk. So if I don't have to talk, what are you telling me a story? I have to have the ability to talk. We have a heichan shemala devakasavayel. Where do we find such a halacha formula in such a bizarre manner that I don't have to do something, but I have to have the ability to do it? And my inability to do it will prevent me from being yotzei, even though I don't have to actually do it practically. So the Torah says, I set us up with that question. We have such a concept. It's a very famous concept. It's a concept in Hilchos Karbanos, in Hilchos Menachos. It's called Kol Aroi Labila Ein Bila Ma'akeves Boy. Kol She'ein Aroi Labila Bila Ma'akeves Boy. There's a mitzvah when you bring a korban mincha that you have to bring flour and oil. You have to mix it together. Belula b'shemen. You have to mix it together. What if lo bila? Person didn't do it. He brought the flour, brought the wood, everything. And he didn't make the mixture. Lo bila kosher. B'diavik, bila k'sher. The mincha is b'diavik k'sher. But the Gemara says in Maseches Menachos, what if he brought a mincha in such a manner that he couldn't have been boilel even if he would have tried to do so? It wouldn't have worked. You know why it wouldn't have worked? Because he has too much flour and too little oil. The ratio of flour to oil is such that it will mix. I don't know how to bake cakes, but people who know how to bake cakes, they'll tell you, if you don't have the right ratio of ingredients, it ain't going to work. So if you have too much flour and too little oil, you try to be both, that's not going to work. Comes the Mishnah and says, you don't have to be one. You don't have to do it. But if you didn't do it, because you couldn't do it, that's a problem. And that's Rabbi Zeger's famous klal. Kol roi lebila, if you're roi lekach to bila, if you could have done bila, ain't bila mekeves boy, then the bila is not ma'akeh b'diyev. But kosher ain't a roi lebila, but if it's not fit for bila, then taka bila mekeves boy, then the bila is going to disqualify the carbon in b'diyev. So we have such a concept. Says the Shibbol Yalakeh, this is it. This is the application. This is the case. Just as in Uchas Menachas we find such a concept, so too, we can plug this into Hilchos Mitzvahs as well, Hilchos Brachos as well. You don't have to open up your mouth to be Yotzei Kiddusha. Not necessary. You don't have to open up your mouth to be Yotzei Kiddusha. But you have to have the ability to do so. And if you don't have the ability, and the Shabbat Lechon again, as I pointed out correctly, it's taking the expanded definition of inability. Inability includes even halachic inability. Inability to do something is called Ein Aroi L'Aniyah, Ein Aroi L'Dibor, and you can't be Yotzei the Mitzvah of Midiyevin. So the Shibbol Yalakeh uses this din about Menachos as a springboard, as a model for his application to his brachos.
So Shibbol Yalakeh, if you come at the time when Shliach Tzibur is starting Chazar Zashas, then according to him, you could say Kedusha with him as you go along. But according to Tosfos, it would be difficult to do that. It would be the same heter to say...
If you would start with the chazan and actually say kedusha in the middle of the bracha about the kodesh, that would be good. The cholodes. That's not a hesed.
Even according to Tosfos.
According to everybody, that's the best case scenario. So that's why very often if a person is falling behind in davening, sometimes the best strategy may be to actually wait till the chazan starts chazar sashatz and daven with him until kedusha, and then you can actually say kedusha at that point. The chazanish actually held that was good even lechatchila. That's called tefillah b'tzibur even lechatchila shel lechatchila.
So if you have a long Shemar Nesrei, halacha l'maisa, if in general you have a long Shemar Nesrei with a Shliach Tzibur that davens quickly, right, you're better off to be to wait to
eat. So I would say like this. I would say if you're able to mamash start with the Tzibur, you could start with the Tzibur. If you're anyway, you're starting with it when the Tzibur's up to modem already, you might as well wait the extra couple of seconds and that way you'll chaper and kiddush as well.
How does the Shibbol Yalakeh do this comparison? In the Blila, there is a Maaseh.
Hold on. We had a long way to go. This Shibbol Yalakeh is startling on so many different levels. I mean, we're taking a din tucked away in Maseches Menachos in the middle of the base of Mikdash and Kachim, and we're plugging it into our shuls. I mean, that's a huge jump. The Chul Mikachim, you know, is not so simple. You can jump from Kachim to Mitzvahs just like that. So the truth is that the Gemara itself, in other contexts, borrows that model of Bila, and actually there are halachah l'maisa things that we've practiced Adi Yemezeh based on that. L'moshel, a very famous application, is the Gemara in the end of Maseches Nida. But the Gemara tells us when a woman goes to the mikvah, so she does not have to open up her mouth when she goes to the mikvah. There's no need to get water inside. That's what's called the Beis HaSdarim. Inside her mouth, inside her nose, inside those areas of the body, there's no need for the water to come in. However, what if she didn't open up her mouth, she wasn't supposed to, didn't have to, but she has something stuck inside her teeth? So I would have said, well, she doesn't have to open up her mouth anyway. What do I care what's stuck inside the teeth? So the Gemara says, no. You don't require bias mayim in the base of storm, in the body cavities. It's not necessary for the water to get there. But you have to have what's called roi l'bias ma'im. You have to have the ability for water to get there. If water couldn't have got there, even if you would have wanted it to, because you got a chicken bone stuck in between your teeth, that will disqualify the tevila. It's not going to necessarily be a Torah, it's not a robe, whatever. Those are technicalities. But the idea is that you don't need bias ma'im in the base of starim, but you need roi l'bias ma'im. So the Gemara Nida says, what kind of stringent is that? If you don't need bias ma'im, so why do you need roi l'bias ma'im? The Gemara says, tough, that's the way it is. Because called roi l'bila, bila, and bila mekevet. The Gemara actually jumps and uses that model of bila by kabanos and plugs it into chatzitz by tefillos as well. So you see from Chazal already that din is not just the kashrut of the din. That is something that we can branch out to other areas of halacha as well. So it's not so far fetched with the Shabbat Elekit to say that maybe it applies to Chaz Brachos also. So we still have a lot of work. We barely scratched the surface of this chiddush gadol of the Shabbat Elekit. So again, there are two great chiddushim in the Shabbat Elekit. Number one is that Shamei Koina is limited to the person who can potentially do aniyah. And then chiddush number two is that we're defining the ability to do aniyah as physical as well as halachic. And Rashi and Tosfos clearly disagree. But it's not clear. The Rashi and Tosfos disagree on the entire Shabbat Elekit and say that Shabbat Elekit applies even with the inability to be onet. Or maybe be ikaron, Shabbat Elekit's right. Even though it would be a physical hindrance to aniyah. But if it's just merely a halachic prevention, a halachic obstacle, maybe that doesn't necessarily set the stage for an inability of Shemek Rana. So we still got plenty to work out. We just barely scratched the surface in terms of this next dimension of the sugya. Hopefully, Metzshev as well. Metzshev next week will continue. Okay. Good night. Good night to everybody.
The same case.